So hello everyone, welcome to my talk about RangoDB, which is a different approach to NoSQL, in my opinion. So first, a few words about me. My name is Lucas Dohmann, and I'm part of the RangoDB core team. I'm also the developer of RangoDB Fox, with this awesome logo, and I will talk about this briefly during the presentation, and I'm also the guy who writes RangoDB Ruby adapter. When I've got time, I'm studying computer science as a master's student, and I'm also working on two projects called Hacken In and Nerdkunde because I don't like free time. So let's get started with RangoDB. So RangoDB is the answer to the question, is could there be a multipurpose database which could be used for most of your database needs? Because if you look at NoSQL today, there are so many solutions, and the question is if it's possible to make a database which can solve most of those problems. So we designed RangoDB to have a unique feature set and solve some of the problems of existing NoSQL databases. It's a greenfield project. But it's based on a lot of experience by the team of Triagens, who is developing this database and who's paying me to work on RangoDB. So they are the core team has 10 years of experience in designing NoSQL database systems. We call it a second generation NoSQL database, with the first being CouchDB, MongoDB, and so on. And you may see why we call it that at the end of the talk. So what are the main features? And this is also my the organization of my presentation. So first off, it's an open source and free database. It's a multi-model database. It has convenient query methods, and it's extendable. Also, it has high performance and space efficiency, and it's easy to use. The development of RangoDB started in 2011, and what's happening? Okay. Awesome. Okay. So, magic door. Okay. And version 1 was released in September 2012. And we are currently working on version 1.4, which will be released in the next few weeks, which has a few awesome new features. So it's free and open source, as in Frostcon, and under the Apache 2 license. It's on GitHub. You can clone it, you can fork it, whatever you want. And you don't have to pay for it, because it's free and open source. And this makes me happy. So it's a multi-model database. What is that supposed to mean? So if you look at NoSQL, there are multiple kinds of NoSQL databases. And three of the most well-known kinds are key value store, document store, and the graph database. And RangoDB is all three at once. This is what we call a multi-model database. And this has some interesting it's interesting for polyglot persistence. If you read the book by Martin Fowler about NoSQL, he talks a lot about polyglot persistence. What is polyglot persistence? In the traditional database world, all your data was just in your SQL database, and that's it. But this changed over the last years, especially with the introduction of NoSQL databases. So it's possible that if you have a have a bigger architecture, that you store your user sessions in a Redis database, and your financial data is stored in a relational database, and you store all your data in different databases, and yeah, your application has to look in all of those databases and see where it finds the data. And we want to give you a solution where you only have one database and it can serve all those, most of those purposes, and do it as well as the other solutions out there. So, for example, if you have a system where you have recommendations, a very good fit for that is a graph database. And we offer graph functionality, and it's maybe not all the features that Neo4j has, for example, but most of them, and they will probably be enough for your use case if you're not really centered on a graph database, you just want social features. And this makes a lot of things easier. For on the one hand, you only have one database and you don't have to set up a whole infrastructure. If you're developers, they start on the project, they have to install 6 databases and set everything up and so on. And if you only use one database, this is a lot simpler. It also is a lot simpler to keep data in sync between those. For example, in a lot of those cases, the user data is very interesting and you have to get them from other databases or sync them the entire time, which is a little bit of a hassle at least. So we came up with this map. There are 1,000 NoSQL maps, and this is our map. It looks a little bit more like map, like a traditional map, than other maps because they are mostly like public transport maps or something. And we came up with this wonderful map. So we see that in databases there are two main continents of databases. So on the one hand there are transaction processing databases, and on the other hand there are analytic processing databases. And in the analytic world you have to do MapReduce, you have column stores and so on. And we see this as the land of the elephant, Hadoop. So Hadoop is the big animal there, and they will serve almost all needs. We don't want to go in this area. We have no interest to do that. The existing solutions are very interesting, and they are well tested and very nice. We are more interested in the traditional database field, and there we also see some subcontinents or countries, whatever you want to call it, with the main thing being documents. And this is where ArangoDB has its core. It's mainly a document store. But it also is very usable for complex queries and for structured data. And as I said before, we also can serve at least some of the needs of people which want a graph database. If you now go down the map and you see the massively distributed data sets, and this is mostly done with key value, then you get in an area where your queries can't be that complex because you have to put them over 1,000 nodes. And this is where React is really awesome. React is a perfect solution for that. And my thesis is that you can't write a database which can serve both those countries down there and the rest of the map, because complex queries distributed among a cluster is not a good idea, maybe. So if you have big data which you have to distribute among 1,000 nodes, maybe ArangoDB is not the right solution for you, but look at React, it's an awesome database. So to go a little bit deeper into what those three parts that we implemented are, we start with key value store. So what is a key value store? A key value store is just maps values to unique string keys. So you can say, I want the value with this identifier, and you get the entire thing back. It's not the data is opaque. You can't really look into it. This is changing right now a little bit with React, but it's mostly true. So you just say, okay, give me this data for key XY, and you get the data. That's it. You can't formulate a query which looks into the data. It's easier to implement scaling with such a database. It's a special case of documents, but due to the to the restrictions, it's easier to just spread it among thousands of nodes. There are a lot of use cases for this, but there are a lot of things that you can't do with a database like this, and probably you shouldn't. So ArangoDB supports basic key value documents. And in the near future, we want to implement this. We want to enhance this to be even better and serve more purposes. So we want to implement a special document collection where you can't look into the files and where the JSON data is not parsed, which is very useful for some use cases. So as I said, mainly we are a document store, and they are normally based upon key value stores. But you now can look into the data. And there are some people who call, as you have collections of files, and they are in databases, or as in the case of OrangoDB, there's only one database with a lot of collections. And this is attribute structured data, so in almost all document stores, it's a JSON file, and you can look into this data and use it in your queries. And OrangoDB supports documents, and we do something very specific. We try to recognize schemata in your data, and I will go into that and why this is useful later on about space efficiency. And also, it's a graph store. So if you have, for example, this computer science bibliography, which we used in one of our demos, then there's a very natural fit to model it as a graph. And if you model it as a graph, it can be very useful if you have a graph database. So you can express things like there's a label on an edge between two documents. And this is also possible in an SQL database, for example. But if you have a graph store, it has built-in functionality to make it much more easy to use a graph in your database. And we will see some querying later on to demonstrate what we mean with that. So we support property graphs for all those graph nerds. And we have vertices and edges are just documents. So you can just do everything that you can do with all other documents on those two types of documents. We also allow you to write custom traversals. We have built-in graph algorithms for certain tasks like get similar nodes or something like that. So, convenient querying. We think that if you have a multipurpose database which has a lot of different use cases, that you have to offer different kinds of querying on your data. So there is this simple case which is handled by key value stores where you just have an ID and you want to get the data for it. And in our case, this is quite simple. You just send a GET request to the database, give it the collection name, which is in this case is users, and the ID of the document or the user, and you will get the JSON data back. So this is quite simple, and there are use cases for that. But this is not enough. So if you are using MongoDB, for example, you know query by example, which is really useful for a lot of queries. You just send a put request to simple by example, and you tell it, OK, this is a JSON document, and I want to get a document which looks like that. So it has the name Jan, and it has the age 38, and then you get back the entire document, including his birth date or hobbies or whatever. And we have two different endpoints, one if you just want one piece of data back, and one if you want all fitting data back. Or you can also slice it up and say, I want it in want 20 or something. So this is all nice and very awesome if you have, you can just send REST calls to the database, which is easy to implement if you're building an API driver for your programming language. But we also designed AQL, which is a query language. So this is an example. I think it's quite easy to read. So we are going over all users, and we are filtering all users that are active, and then we return documents where just there's a name and then the name of the user. As I said before, you also can do graph traversals. They are done in JavaScript. We have a V8 engine running inside of our database, and then you can do all things that you can do with a graph traversal. And also we have actions, and this will be part of the document talk later. So why did we decide to do another query language? There are so many query languages out there. Why do another one? So when we started, the first version was a subset of the SQL select statement. And very soon we noticed that this doesn't fit very well, and we need something else. So at this time, there was Uncle. I think this is how you pronounce it. It was supposed to be SQL for NoSQL. At that time, it already looked like the project is dead and it doesn't work. And there were no working implementations at all at that point of time. And today, it's still the same. So I think we made the right choice not to go with Uncle. Then there's XQuery, of course, and it's really powerful. But it's maybe not just a bit too complex, but really too complex for simple queries. If you just want all names or something, then XQuery is really awkward to deal with. There's JSON-IQ. We get asked a lot, why didn't you use JSON-IQ? It didn't exist when we started with AQL. And they even used AQL as an inspiration for JSON-IQ. So this is why we didn't use it. What do other document stores do? MongoDB uses JSON or BSON as its query language. So you send a JSON document there, and it's a very limited way to query data. And also, if you have a complex query, then you won't be able to read this query. It's not a good solution, in my opinion. And CouchDB uses MapReduce. MapReduce is a really nice tool. The problem I have with MapReduce is that it's not a relational algebra. So if you have a driver which wants to generate statements and send them to the database using a relational algebra, like the ROM team does it in the Ruby world, you can't do this with MapReduce, or you can't do it right now. Maybe someone will come up with something, but I don't know if anyone has yet. And I think it's not easy to learn, and a lot of people say the same. So if you know SQL, MapReduce is an entirely different world. So if you want to learn more about queries in different NoSQL databases, my colleague Jan Stiemann is giving a talk later on today this very room at 2 o'clock, and he will talk about query mechanisms for NoSQL databases. If you're interested in that topic, he researched a lot of those things. So let's talk about AQL. So we came up with it in mid 2012, and it's a declarative language loosely based on XQuery. It has some similarities with SQL because it's relational algebra, but we decided to not use the same keywords so people don't think, oh, it's SQL, I can use this as well. So we use other keywords. But I think they are quite easy to understand, but I helped design it, so you should maybe just try it out and tell us if it is as simple as we think. The AQL is implemented in C and JavaScript. If we want to aggregate something, this would be the way to do it in AQL. Again, you see this for you and users to iterate over all those users. And then you can ask something about those. Everything's all right. Sorry. And then you can aggregate it into a new JSON document. So everything that your AQL query puts out is again an JSON document. We also can query graphs in our in AQL. This is one of if you want don't want to do very complex thing with graphs, this is a very good solution. We also have those graph traversals if you really want to get into graphs. But this is especially useful if you have a query which is both about the structure of the data and also about the content of the data. So here we use one of those built-in functions for our graph queries. In this case, it's paths. So it returns all paths. I can't pronounce this documents in the users collection using the documents in the relations collection as its edges, and we choose the direction outbound and only look at those connections that are outbound, and then you can again just do the same as you saw in the other examples and filter, and then return again a JSON document. So also the ArrangoDB to be very universal, we want it to be extendable. There are two dynamic languages built into ArrangoDB. On the one hand, it's JavaScript with the V8 engine, and on the other hand, it's MRuby. So MRuby is a version of Ruby which is created to be embeddable. The M stands for embeddable, also for mats, and also for minimal, and for, I think, 10 or 12 different things. And it's a very special version of Ruby, which is optimized to be embedded. You can do different things with this embedded languages. You can, for example, do multi-collection transactions, which is quite unique in the NoSQL world. And you can do those graph traversals formulated as a JavaScript function. And also, some people love cascading deletes and updates, and they are quite useful. And you can do this with JavaScript in our database. Also, it's very useful if you have to aggregate a lot of data from multiple queries, and the result is just one JSON file. But to get all this JSON file, you have to from a lot of different places. And the JavaScript in the database, it can just access this data and just take it and merge it together. And if you would do this in your application server, you would have to bounce back and forth between database. And in this case, you can just do it on the database and send the data back as one bit, which is especially useful for data-intensive operations. Actions, Fox, and Application Server, which is on the next slide. And as I said before, those are the two things that we are implementing right now. But MRuby is very experimental. We were one of the first people to embed MRuby in anything at all. And it can't do a lot right now, but if people really find it useful, we will work on it to give it the same capabilities as the JavaScript engine has right now. So what do I mean with application server, action server, and Fox? So ArrangoDB can answer arbitrary HTTP requests directly. So you can send them some HTTP request, and it will try to answer it. And you can write JavaScript functions which will react to those requests. And they will be executed directly in the database. There's no Node.js running on a separately or something. It just runs in the database and do something. It can just give back hello world, but it can also do much more complex things. And it includes a permission system, so you can say, okay, this can only be executed in certain cases. We are heavily working on this right now. If you have feature requests for what you would want in a permission system like this, please come to us and talk to us. So what we can do is we can use ArangoDB as a combination of a database and an application server. And this is the idea behind Fox. So in my opinion, APIs are becoming more and more and more important. And especially if you are doing single page web applications with Ember or Backbone or Angular, then most of your logic is running on your client anyway. All you need really is to have a place where you can store your data and where you can have you can run operations which you don't want to run on the client side for security reasons and permissions. So not everyone can use anything in the database. It's also equally useful for native mobile applications, for your Android or iPhone, and also for external developer APIs if you just have your application and you say, okay, if you have if you are a developer of our for our page, then you can use the special API and access this data in a raw way. And what you would do right now is you would have your, if in the case of a single page web application, you would have your browser on the left, and it would talk to Rails, Django, Node, Symfony, or whatever. And this would talk to the database and then talk back to the client. And in this case, all those frameworks, they wouldn't do a lot because they would just check, are you allowed to do this? Here are the data. It doesn't do a lot of calculations because they are all done on the client side. So I had this crazy idea to just skip this and talk to the database directly. And to do this in a sensible way, you would need to specify an API directly on top of the database, a REST API. And I thought, OK, the main audience for this are people who are developing single-page web applications. And therefore, they know JavaScript very well. So they would be, it would be awesome if they could use JavaScript to build this API. And ArangoDB Fox is streamlined for API creation. It's not a jack of all trades where you can do anything with. You can't put out HTML pages, for example. It's not built for that. It's especially built for if you want a JSON API for your application. And the system runs directly on top of ArangoDB and is part of it, so it's not a separate project. If you have installed ArangoDB in the unstable version, you can access this right now. But if you wait, I think, 1 or 2 weeks, then ArangoDB 1.4 will be released, and then this will be an official feature. So yeah, we all like to pull things from GitHub and just try it out, so do that. This is a simple example for a Fox application. So this JavaScript is then executed in your database. So it works a lot like modern JavaScript development with this require statement. And you get an application prototype, and then you instantiate your application. And then you can define a route directly on top of your database. So every request that goes to test will be answered with a text plain answer, which just says worked. So this is very useful. You should implement this in all your databases because everyone wants to just query test and get worked that. But you can also do more advanced things. But this is a talk about ArangoDB in particular, so I will just go over it a little bit more quickly. If you want to know more about it, just find me anywhere on the in the conference, and I will show you a little more or check out the documentation. One of the most important features is that it has full access to all APIs in ArangoDB. So you can do simple queries, you can do AQL, you can send a traversal, you can do all those things directly in the database. One of the things that was very important to me was that it is easy for you to generate a documentation for your API, because APIs, a lot of APIs, they lack a good documentation, and people will just try things out, and yeah, it doesn't really work like that, and everything breaks. So therefore, it automatically generates a documentation for you. If you don't do anything, it will just show you, okay, those are the routes which are accessible, and then you can send JSON data to the database and see how and explore the interface. But if you do some annotations in your functions, you will also get those documentation in this documentation in your in this interactive way, and it's really quite cool. So I would love to show it to you later on. Also, we have this concept of models and repositories. I will just skip this right now. It's for getting data out of the database and into the database in a very clean way. And there's also a central repository of Fox apps. With the idea behind it is that you can reuse Fox applications. So if someone builds a blog and someone builds a forum, you can just say, OK, I want this blog and this forum, and just host it on my ArangoDB. And it's also for inspiration. So there's this project called II from Michael Hackstein, which is also here today. He implemented a to-do list application based on To-Do MVC. And this is our main example if you want to see how it's, how we thought you should use Fox as an inspiration. And I'm sending pull requests to him every time I update, introduce a new feature, and I introduce it in II. So just look at this as an example. And also, we are heavily working on authentication module right now, so we can get it out of the door with 1.4. And yeah, it will allow you to do easy authentication stuff and OAuth and so on. So a very important question for everyone who wants to use NoSQL is, how is the performance and how much space is this wasting? The question about space is especially coming from MongoDB developers. Don't know why. So we have this feature called automatic schema recognition. The idea behind it is we don't have a schema in NoSQL, but this doesn't mean that you don't have a schema. So your application still has a schema, and your documents, a lot of documents in the same collection, will look alike. So they will all have a title and maybe a birth date or something. And there will maybe be four or five different kinds of documents in your collection. And we, if you store a document, we will automatically recognize how this document is formed, and then say, okay, this is formed like this, and this is formed like this, and then we only have to store all those key names and so on once. So this saves a lot of space. It's the database core is written in C, and the communication is done in C++, and there's also JavaScript and C++ stuff for additional functionality. And if we find out that something is too slow in the database, which is written in JavaScript right now, then we will just re-implement it in C or C++ to make it more performant. Let's talk about space efficiency. We measured the space on disk of different data sets for MongoDB, ArangoDB, and CouchDB. And we had a bunch of different tasks, but I will just show you two of them. So if you want to store 50,000 Wikipedia articles in your database, this is how much space it took 1 year ago. So this is 1 year ago. We want to do this test again. What we found out is that MongoDB is taking a lot of space on disk if you want to store this kind of data. What are those different bars? The left ones are always the normal configuration, and the right ones are a slightly optimized configuration. So in the case of ArangoDB, it's the size of the journal. I don't have any time to get into what this is, but we saved a little bit of space there by decreasing the journal size. And in CouchDB, it's uncompressed versus compressed. So CouchDB has integrated snappy compression, and the right one is compressed with snappy, which is very useful if you store Wikipedia articles. And in MongoDB, it's the difference between using pre-alloc and don't using pre-alloc. And this has some implications for performance. If you use the normal configuration, which is faster, you will end up with a size like this. And this is even, if you save AOL search queries, which are more structured data, then ArangoDB will play out its strength with the schema recognition, and you will see how much space we can save here. And again, this is the same, the same kind of bars as in the slide before. And performance. So I see a lot of people when they give a talk about an NoSQL database, and they performance is the big slide, and this is the most important thing. But performance is very—it's a very hard topic, because someone gives you some data and says, "Okay, we are fast here. This is the test. This test will be fast for this database." So, if you really want to know how performant a database is, try it with your own use case. The use case has a lot of implications on the performance. So we did some basic performance tests, but as I said, take this with a grain of salt. They are just try it out yourself for the kind of data you want to save and the kind of queries you want to execute. And if you do an interesting performance test, just ping us and say, "Hey, I did this performance test. I think those results are interesting. Look at it." Or maybe you can optimize this or help me optimize my AQL statement, for example. So let's see some numbers. So this is the execution time of bulk inserting 10 million documents into the database. So high is bad. So if you don't want to wait that long to insert your documents. And in this case, CouchDB is by far the slowest one. And this is something we found out across multiple tests that you can find here. And this is, again, 1 year old. And we really want you to try it out today and tell us your use case and how you feel the performance is. And in this case, ArangoDB is faster than MongoDB. But in different tests that we did, MongoDB was faster. So ArangoDB and MongoDB were at kind of the same level. MongoDB was mostly a little bit faster. So what I conclude from this is basically just ArangoDB is fast enough, and you should try out if it's fast enough for you. So the space efficiency is really nice, and it's a problem that a lot of people face even today. And ArangoDB is fast enough, so please try it out. We also focus a lot on ease of use. So we designed a very easy to use admin interface, and also the way we handle queries is optimized for ease of use. So if you have just a very simple request where you want to get a document which looks something like this, you send a by example query and you're done. And but if it gets more complicated, doing this with a REST interface or something gets very ugly, and this is where you would switch to AQL, which is very easy to use for people who know SQL, and which is easy to use for complex queries. So it also can simplify your setup. If your application is okay with running on a single server where all those requests come in, and you just have a very little server-side logic, then you could maybe run ArangoDB only, no Rails or something else, which is very simple in your development setup, but also in your production setup. But this is only for some use cases. In most use cases, you want to use a web framework of some kind. Also, if you are using it as a document store and one day you find out that you want graph queries or you need some simple key value storage, then you don't have to add another database to your setup. You just use the functionality in RangoDB to do that. And it doesn't have any external dependencies like the JVM, as other databases have right now. It's written in C++ and JavaScript. You install it and it runs. It has an HTTP interface, so you can use it behind any of the normal load balancers. So join our growing community. The community is working on different kinds of stuff, like the Geo Index and full text search, and a lot of work is going into different APIs for different programming languages. So, for example, Clojure is missing here. You are a Clojure developer. You maybe want to try out developing an API for RangoDB, because we don't have anyone yet using Clojure. So that's it. Summarizing, it's the API is based on web standards, HTTP, REST, JSON, no binary stuff. It's simple to use. It's very flexible in terms of querying, ranging from a simple query to a graph traversal. And it can be used as a database and application server for some use cases. So thank you for listening. So, any questions? Yes. The max. We don't have a maximum document size, I think. So. The question was, is there a maximal file size? And the answer is no, probably not. So right now, no. It's all JSON data, but we're working on something like that. Yes. No. Oh, sorry. So the question was, is there a possibility to store binary data? And my answer is, right now, there's no possibility. But we are working on that. Yes. Yes, it's on the roadmap. So, sharding. Yeah, a lot of people are doing that right now. So this question comes a lot. So I did a separate slide for that. So the question was about replication sharding. So replication is coming in version. This is outdated. Huh? I have all outdated slides. So it's not coming in version 2. It's coming in the next version, which is coming out in the next weeks. And this is master-slave replication. Master replication is coming in version 2. Sharding is a very interesting topic, and sharding is only necessary if you really have a large data set which you can't hold in memory, and this has some implications on the kinds of queries you can do on your data. So if you really have so much data that you have to put it among a lot of different nodes, then please come to us later and explain us your use case, and we will try to find out how this works. We don't support sharding right now, and it's kind of on the roadmap, so we are thinking about it and how to implement it in a good way, because as I said at the beginning, if you do sharding, then you have to think a lot about how to do the queries in a way that you can still do, that you will cut off certain kinds of queries, because complex queries can't be just distributed among 10 servers or something. Mm-hmm. So the question is, do we have support for indexes? We have support for a lot of indexes. I think I accidentally deleted the slide about indexes. We have different kinds of index for different use cases, including geo-index if you want to search for geo-data, and skip lists, and so on. If you want to learn more about indexes, we have a very elaborate documentation about indexes. So there's another question. Yes. So the question was, is there an interactive way to try out RangoDB? And there is. On the website, there is a try tab at the top. And you can just try out the way you can query data. And if you install it and you go into the admin interface, you can also do all those all JavaScript and AQL statements and save documents and go crazy. Okay, so the question is about isn't it insane to put a RangoDB directly on the internet and let anyone just access it? So if you use Fox, then you have the option to deactivate the API, the normal API, so no one can do API queries, and this eliminates a lot of the problems. As far as security goes, yeah. It's a built-in HTTP server. It's as secure as a normal HTTP server. So you have to do all your normal measurements. Versioning of documents. You can implement something like this on your own with actions. If you have this special use case, you would have to roll it on your own. Yes. So we did some. The question was about how many concurrent access we can handle. We have a very elaborate blog post about some tests we did, and I'm quite confident in the performance. I didn't put it in here because of time constraints. I can give you the link later on to the report. Yes. Yeah, so from your perspective, there's just one version. So he's our chief architect, if anyone is thinking, why is he answering questions? So, talking about. Yeah, there are no more questions. So thank you, and have a nice conference.